And welcome, everybody, here on YouTube as we start yet another episode of Off the Hook Overtime. Kyle, are you here in YouTube land?
Yes, physically.
Wow. Rob, are we actually on YouTube this time?
Yes, indeed. We are on YouTube. I am here.
Gila's here as well.
Gila's here, and Alex. Where the hell is Alex? Seriously, Alex, can you stay put for a little while?
I think he stepped away.
Yeah, well, you know, I'd like to step away too sometimes.
Okay, he's running.
I'd like to step the hell away.
He's running back.
I want to step away to the other side of the damn planet. All right, hi, Alex. Welcome back.
Welcome. Yes.
Talking about you.
All right. Perfect. There you go.
So, yeah.
That's what overtime sounds like. Wonderful.
Mm-hmm. So, I'd like to look at a story here, which is kind of funny. Encyclopedia Britannica tells Trump to take a hike. What do you think that's about? Well, the longest-running in-print encyclopedia is not going along with Trump's order to say Gulf of America. Encyclopedia Britannica will continue to use Gulf of Mexico, the encyclopedia posted to X, formerly Twitter, to its more than 60,000 followers. Trump has decreed, and that's exactly what he's done, he's decreed that the international body of water, which borders Mexico, the United States, and other nations, be called the Gulf of America. And Britannica said it wasn't going along with Trump's order for a few reasons. We serve an international audience, a majority of which is outside the U.S. The Gulf of Mexico is an international body of water, and the U.S.'s authority to rename it is ambiguous. It has been called the Gulf of Mexico for more than 425 years, but it's important to note the distinction between international and domestic areas. It's like they're teaching him, you know? If he paid attention, he'd actually learn something. Trump's administration made headlines after they barred the Associated Press from presidential events. In its influential style book, the AP said it would continue to use Gulf of Mexico, while also noting Trump's decision to ensure that names or geographical features are recognizable around the world. The White House's outright attempt at regulating language used by independent media and the punitive measures attached to it mark a sharp escalation in Trump's often fraught dealings with news organizations. On Tuesday, AP reporters were blocked from attending events in the Oval Office and the White House's diplomatic reception room, while an AP reporter was in the White House briefing room on Wednesday for various remarks from somebody else. They were turned away at a later event in the Oval Office for the swearing-in of Tulsi Gabbard as National Intelligence Director. You don't want to miss that. Julie Pace, AP Senior Vice President and Executive Editor, wrote to White House Chief of Staff Susie Wiles, the actions taken by this White House were plainly intended to punish the AP for the content of its speech. It is among the most basic tenets of the First Amendment that the government cannot retaliate against the public or the press for what they say. Well, that is certainly not the case today. And it's also, you know, interesting to note who did comply. I know Google complied, and they are saying Gulf of America everywhere. Many other news agencies also, I believe, are basically obeying.
Does anyone ever think about the magnitude of wealth it took to captivate this president for these tech companies and Musk? Like, his net worth and then his contribution, like $200 million. Like, if you're worth $100,000, is that like $100 or $200? Like, comparatively, they got this for cheap, like crazy cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Like, think about that. That's,
well, do they have it though?
Well, as far as they're concerned,
because I guarantee
they're
you,
acting like
Elon
it.
Musk believes he owns the country right now,
right?
And he probably does because, you know, Trump is not going to cross him, even though inevitably they are going to be at loggerheads. But he is not going to cross his bank. Because Musk has so much more money than Trump does.
Well, and think about comparatively how much money was spent protecting all of these systems. Like I was talking about earlier, the security industrial complex that we feed taxpayers, huge contracts, feeding, keeping everything locked down, secure, compartmentalized, blah, 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 updated, okay? Same thing with the phone system, except they don't spend anything on it. They just send dividend checks. But all of that money, maybe upwards of trillions over however much time period, was now literally, in hacker terms, owned by these non-elected bureaucrats. That's fascinating to me. And the compliance of these tech companies that donated or didn't, and they now have to, like, do these silly things out of fear that they will have suits and maybe legitimate things like privacy laws and, you know, repercussions for the impacts of social media algorithms, that business being regulated and scrutinized. That's the blackmail they're being held with, because if they don't change silly names on their maps or something, the specter of this administration going after them and then fines being levied in some way, or their penalties, you know, emerging that are otherwise only basically being sought by, like, the EU, people with a spine, you know, and elsewhere. But it's kind of hilarious, the numbers, if you just think about it.
And we're at a stage where we can still laugh about these things, but that stage is going to come to an end. And people will have their lives destroyed. People will be put in prison. People will be killed. That is inevitably the direction you go. Go ahead, Gila.
Well, first, I mean, people are already starting to die. But on a slightly lighter note, thanks to frequent listener and contributor Tim in Connecticut, who pointed us toward an article on Axios.com, Mexico is threatening to sue Google over this issue. Over saying they press conference on Monday, Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum argued that Google's decision to change its map labels was incorrect because Trump's order only applied to the U.S. continental shelf and the Gulf. So Mexico is now threatening to sue Google over this whole Gulf of America business.
In Trump's world, he can rename Mexico too, right? Because if he's renaming international bodies of water, he could call the moon Ivanka, and we'd all have to obey. I'm not kidding. That he could do that. This is how crazy it's getting, you know. And if you don't follow, you become the enemy.
I have so many critiques for the private space thing too. Like, there's so many people that are inspired and they're building these things, and you're not going to be in the same neighborhood on Mars as these people.
Well, that's a good thing, though.
Yeah, it is.
who would want to be?
Stop kidding yourself.
It's hard enough on Mars without Elon Musk being your neighbor.
No, like the 9 billion people on this planet that are trying to eat and survive, like, the death, like, the casualties for the program to get to Mars or the casualties of all of these policies on Earth are built in. There will be death. Like, that is part of their calculation.
Mm-hmm.
They're just ensuring it isn't them, as far as they know.
Pretty much, yeah. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, going back to Encyclopedia Britannica being one of the entities affirming that, yes, it's the Gulf of Mexico, and it's not going to stop being the Gulf of Mexico because of this foolishness. Another entity is Wikipedia. The article is firmly in Gulf of Mexico. If you search for Gulf of America, it will redirect you to Gulf of Mexico, to the part of the article describing this whole controversy. And if you're one of those folks who are lucky enough to be familiar with the behind-the-scenes workings of Wikipedia, you might want to check out the top page for the article, because it's a goddamn mess.
Oh my God! I can imagine. Almost as good as the one for the Middle East. That's a lively one too.
Yeah, but the crowd has spoken, and sense is prevailing there at this point.
Little things like that. It might seem like nothing, but this is how you resist. This is how you start to resist. And the more it drives him crazy, the more it drives them crazy, the more effective it is, and the more you keep putting on the pressure. You know, we're talking about how individual people are the strongest weapon, and we are. You know, crowds of people, that's what any government fears more than anything. And that's true of Democrats. That's true of Republicans. And right now, you know, as we said before, you know, those politicians, they really, their focus is getting reelected. Their focus is not stepping too far out of line. There are exceptions, you know, there are a few that are, you know, outspoken, but not nearly enough. Not nearly enough. It would be great if they were on the front lines. It would be great if they were disrupting Congress and getting arrested themselves, you know, and just making a royal pain in the ass to the administration for standing up for democracy. That's their job to do that. They're not doing it. Not yet. Maybe they will. But I think, you know, the people will lead them. It's up to us, really. Someone had the hand up.
I did. Oh, okay. Well, Alex, too.
Gila, then Alex.
Just wanted to share that we have a comment from a listener in the chat who says, one quick follow-up on the comment on Off the Hook that politicians aren't doing or saying anything. You need to watch C-SPAN channels during the day. Democrats, senators, and Republicans have been calling out the recent firings and illegal actions of the current administration on the public record. They can't necessarily do anything other than support the current wave of lawsuits.
Did you say Democrat senators or Democratic senators?
I would have said, if I had written it myself, I would have said Democratic, but I'm just quoting. So
it's Democrat. That's a Trump alert right there. Right there. No, seriously, language. Language is so important to these people. Do you notice how many Republicans just started saying Democrat senator instead of Democratic senator? It doesn't roll off the tongue. It doesn't make any sense. But that's what they're commanded to say this, and they just fall in line. It's disgusting. It really is. And on the subject of a C-SPAN, who did we see today, Kyle? That was on.
Ellie Mizzou.
Oh, my God. You got to go on to C-SPAN.org and watch this guy. He tears apart this administration, but he does it in such a way that gives me so much hope. How do you spell his name?
Ellie. Oh,
it's
you're putting me on the spot.
E-L-I-E. I know that.
E-L-L-I-E. Mizzou. He works for the Nation.
Yeah, works for the Nation. Magazine. You'll find him. Just go on and look at the
Mizzou. M-I-S-T-A-L.
Okay. Yes. I really like him because he does not give any of the callers an inch.
No.
He absolutely goes in
hard. But he's respectful to them.
He is, but he doesn't let them steer the logic away from logic and stays on the point. It's just brilliant to see him spar with them and, you know, let them say their piece and then go right back in on exactly what he's saying. This is such mental clarity. I do aspire to that in my own rhetoric, but it's top notch, top tier. Anytime he's on C-SPAN, it's always a real joy to watch. I have not been following C-SPAN as much as I had been, although I did return to it a little bit. And I will say that listener is right. There are a couple. I watched a senator who is a junior member of the intelligence agency. She was speaking. Oh, wait, no, she was on cable, I think, earlier. I don't know her name, but
C-SPAN is cable.
Yeah. They are speaking out on all the networks as well as C-SPAN a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But C-SPAN's, you know, doing the whole, you know, balancing and all of this stuff, as they should, but it's not as energetic as it ought to be, considering the cost of all of this. But
hey, we can change that. We can make it more energetic.
Yeah, and I think the point that the senator was making, I believe, on MSNBC or one of the interviews today was talking about multi-pronged tactics, where there's litigation, obviously. There's the media messaging, which is kind of what we do, what we're doing, what everyone is doing that's writing and talking about it and taking calls and with sparring with people that don't agree with them or in comments or on social media. Yeah, that's a big part of it too. And also action in the streets. And then, of course, if Congress ever takes up anything and they find some GOP members that aren't, you know, planning, I don't want to be so dark, planning their final, working on the last, with one foot in the grave, you know, doddering around, going along with the Republicans, and they maybe, you know, think about their legacy as standing up for something a little bit more noble than this next election they think they're going to have. It might happen in the House or the Senate, but it's tough. But there has to be, that's about the levers that there are being the opposition of this. But I think as the effects of these things happen, again, you're not going to be in the same neighborhood as these people on Mars, okay? So, like, get over it, no matter what party you're with. And something that I've been thinking about this week is, like, we talk red and blue a lot. We need to just push hard for purple. Like, there has to be a purple party where it's like, we don't care how you voted. We don't care what, you know, what you differ on. You're not down with this. This isn't the country that you want now. And so I've seen a lot of people wearing purple. I know that's kind of it's a olive branch in these times, but I think there has to be serious dialogue about it. I know independents have a place. There's always been talk about the two-party bicameral, whatever you want to, you know, critique about it. But in a time when there is, it's more of a class dichotomy, I think that is the color. Or there has to be, if you're going to speak in a dialogue of two colors and you want to present something that invites both, find something that is a mix.
Yeah. You know, we have to apply pressure in so many different places, and the media is one of those places. We're part of it, but there are many, many aspects to the media. You might have heard this story. There was an advertisement that was going to be in the Washington Post yesterday, full-page ad calling for Elon Musk to be fired from his role in government. Yeah, and that's an essential part of democracy, being able to get your message out one way or another. You know, if not a news story, then a paid ad. We've seen it a million times before. This is how people get the word out, how you start campaigns, how you express opinions. And that ad did not run. It was abruptly canceled. Common Cause was the group trying to put the ad in. They say they were told by the newspaper on Friday that the ad was being pulled. The full-page ad, known as a wraparound, would have covered the front and back pages of editions delivered to the White House, the Pentagon, and Congress, and was planned in collaboration with the Southern Poverty Law Center Action Fund. A separate full-page ad with the same themes would have been allowed to run inside the newspaper, but the two groups chose to cancel the internal ad as well. Both ads would have cost the groups $115,000. We asked why they wouldn't run the wrap when we clearly met the guidelines if they were allowing the internal ad. They said they were not at liberty to give us a reason. Now that is a problem. To have a newspaper owned by Jeff Bezos, I'm sure that has nothing to do with it, refuse to run an ad and not give a reason and say you're not at liberty to even discuss it. I mean, that is not a good sign for democracy. And the Washington Post has had some problems. Remember, they're the newspaper that that pulled the endorsement of Kamala Harris. Yeah, it was written, ready to go. Jeff Bezos stepped in and said, no, I don't want to do that. Instead, print my piece. I'll write a piece. You know, basically saying how we're not taking sides. You know, as if endorsements by newspapers were unusual. So these things have to be called out. Now, I know, you know, I see a lot of people who criticize New York Times, and rightfully so. New York Times has done some bad things, too. But right now, they're doing a much better job than the Washington Post or the L.A. Times. You know, another one of these papers that refuse to say something. So when a paper gets it right, even if it's the first day they got it right, at least acknowledge that. And let's try not to destroy them, because we need these outlets. But right now, the Washington Post is in trouble. And I really think billionaires should not be owning newspapers. I really think that.
I don't want to go on another rant again, but I couldn't sleep the other night, and I realized one of the books I'm reading, I finally made it to chapter 4 in The Jungle. And if you don't know that book, it is by Upton Sinclair, and it's a seminal book about the slaughterhouses and the Union Stockyards in Chicago. So if you look up, I looked up the stockyards and then got curious about it after I got through that chapter. And if you look at the Animal Industrial Complex Wikipedia article, there's a great discussion about Eisenhower's quote about the military-industrial complex and how it's all related, and how speciesism and the food production system is at the heart of this interconnected web of different complexes that we're all at the effect of. And one of the interesting things about it is it's by design that, like, people who aren't for that are derided, like vegans and vegetarians are basically cast as, like, wildly, you know, outside of what is normal, and we're so separated from those processes that we don't actually see the point that's being made, and there's all these other systems that are interdependent. And of course, the Union Stockyards had a big role in the Civil War and feeding the Union Army, and then of course World War II. So food is a big part of the populace, right? And the genesis of expansion and capital and conquest and everything about your life, everything. So that's why I've been kind of on this, like, bent a little bit, because I think it's really, really relevant that the things you're talking about, like the media that is, again, consolidated and owned, that is right there to deny outside perspective, except for independent and whether we're talking about radio or community efforts. So the places that host opinion that aren't owned in that same way. So it's a really interesting framework to look at everything around you and understand that and this article I talked about, that starting with the animal complex, it describes how they're all interconnected, how that as soon as you act apart from the system itself in general, you then are faced with the security complex that then puts you through the prison complex. I mean, it's all right there, ready to keep everything nice and neat and controlled. So I really challenge people to think about all of that in the context of things changing in ways that don't respect the pluralism that we've been accustomed to, that we've been sort of comforted by.
Did they ever make a movie of the jungle?
No, they should. I think we should do it.
Well, I didn't say we should do it.
Yeah.
Somebody should. I'm surprised nobody's done
it. Let's make
that.
It an animated CGI film.
I don't know why it has to be animated.
Make it a kid's movie.
No.
E-I-E-I-O.
It's not a kid's movie. No, I'm sorry. It's but, you know, The Manchurian Candidate, the original one from the 60s, see that. That's kind of good. We asked Google through Gemini, their AI, show us films where well, first we asked, can you recommend films where a foreign leader has lost their mind, and they came right back with what was it they came back with?
Dr. Strangelove.
That's right, Dr. Strangelove.
How I Learned to Love the Bomb.
It was the same film, yes. And then we asked the same thing about the U.S. president. Said, sorry, we can't answer that question. We don't want to get something wrong. Just complete intimidation by AI. It was kind of sad to see. we need to use a better service. But also, you know, see where some companies are too afraid to actually say anything that could be viewed as either controversial or offensive to the powers that be. Now, speaking of the powers that be, we're getting back to Jeff Bezos. I went to commoncause.org. They're the group that tried to put out the ad. Here's the ad. Here's the text of the ad. It's basically a picture of Elon Musk behind the White House, a giant Elon Musk behind the White House. Who's running this country? Oh, and the flag is half-staff, too, which is kind of nice. Who's running this country, Donald Trump or Elon Musk? Since day one, Elon has created chaos and confusion and put our livelihoods at risk, and he is accountable to no one but himself. The Constitution only allows for one president at a time. Call your senators and tell them it's time Donald Trump fire Elon Musk. No one elected Elon Musk. Fire Musk.org. That's the whole thing. That's the whole ad. You know, I've seen more controversial, nastier ads in my local newspaper that, you know, are no problem at all to run. But this is something that Jeff Bezos and his people decided they couldn't possibly do. That is a problem. That is not what this country is about. Yes, Gila.
I do have a question from the chat from a listener named Alex, who asks, question for Emmanuel, are we going to take phone calls tonight or what?
Alex, are you asking questions on the chat again?
I might be, as a matter of fact. Yeah.
You're a lawyer. You know this. Legally, we can only answer questions from listeners. Why do I keep hearing my voice? Who's got their speaker on? You hear that, right? Who is that?
I don't hear anything over there, but it might be me.
You, Alex. You're causing all the trouble tonight.
Yeah, I am a troublemaker. I learn from the best, though.
All right. Then answer your own question.
All right. Well, let's take some phone calls here. Why not?
How does it feel? 802-321-4225.
No, I'm tired of hearing us yap. We got to hear Rebel.
I didn't know he knew the number.
I just wanted to know if rich people go to jail.
What, regular jail?
Yeah. Like, are too rich to jail?
Well, look at Bernie Madoff.
I'd rather not.
Just remember, I mean, that system does that. To whom?
Yes.
We have a call.
Oh, we don't have a ringer. I didn't hear the phone ring.
Oh, you want ringer?
Well, that way I know the phone's ringing. The phone could have been ringing the whole time. I would have answered it if I knew it was ringing. Because, I care.
Maybe I like it that way.
All right. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I had the button pressed wrong. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
Phone's ringing. The phone could have been ringing the whole time.
Okay, that's me. Please turn down your radio, computer, whatever it is.
Maybe I'd like it that way. All right. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime.
Oh, we sure sound good.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead and speak.
I'm sorry. I had the button pressed wrong.
Can you turn us down and use your voice?
Yes. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Connecticut. I seem to be censored in the chat.
Well, I can see why if you're talking like this in the chat.
We sure sound good.
This is hugely annoying. Okay, let's move on. 802-321-4225. Yeah, it's fun to play yourself back and hear the echoes and all that, and maybe even hit a couple of touchstones. But, you know, we've all moved on from the 1990s.
I think the caller was legitimately confused as to what he should be listening to, whether the phone or the YouTube transmission here. So maybe he can call back. It was nice to get a phone call that wasn't Rebel initially.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, do we have another? Okay. And good evening. You are on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Yes, Emmanuel.
You see what happens? All right, well, Rebel, you're back from somewhere. We haven't heard from you in a while, so I guess we're due.
Well, no, I'm actually not back. I'm still somewhere, but I will be back next week. Well, no, not next week, 2 weeks.
You're back now. We hear you. You're back now, so it doesn't make any difference.
Okay, we're back remotely. But I was noticing, I was trailing you.
Are you being arrested or something? Are you in a cop car?
No, I'm talking on the CB radio.
Okay, well, it's hardly rude to talk on a CB radio while being on an internet radio show.
Okay, maybe I'll be doing this.
So, please don't. Caller's just trying to annoy us tonight. So please turn down that radio if you want to talk to us.
Okay. When I was speaking of radio, I was on the radio. Every radio station, like I listen to, like the rap radio station, every rap radio station put cold beer and hot wings. I mean, every radio station had that annoying, the same annoying voice, and they always took it. It's the cold beer and hot wing show, or it's the
cold beer and hot wing show.
Yeah, if you listen to like the rock radio station.
Well, okay, let me explain what you're listening to when you do that. You're listening to either pre-programmed crap or people who are not in the city you're listening to. That's why they don't have accents, and they aren't in the studio.
Right, but every radio station is the cold beer and hot wing show. I mean, every station, it's the same annoying voice. When I was in San Diego, I recognized the voice from San Diego or here in Michigan.
Yeah, I mean, imagine if you heard our voices no matter what radio you turned on, how much of a hell that would be.
WBAI's not a clear, what's that station?
Clear Channel.
Oh, it's not... No, it's not Clear Channel. It's what do we that internet radio that they have now?
iHeartRadio.
iHeartRadio. WBAI is not part of that, right?
No.
I believe iHeart is also Clear Channel.
Yeah, but you can find us on TuneIn. I know that much.
Really?
Yeah, if you tell your Alexa device play WBAI on TuneIn, that it should work.
Support
Rebel.
Rebel, you have a question from Gila.
Yes, I have a question from Gila.
You have a question.
Can you stop talking for a second?
Stop talking. Everyone, stop talking. Gila has the floor.
Thank you, Rebel. Do you have like a pen and a piece of paper?
Yes.
Great. Write down the following. freebeerandhotwings.com/radio-stations, and that's all the stations that play the Free Beer and Hot Wings show, and those are the stations you can avoid as you travel around this great country of ours.
Sheila, how the hell did you do that? How'd you find that?
I looked up Free Beer and Hot Wings. It wasn't that hard.
Well, but did you know that was a radio show? I wouldn't have even thought that.
No, he's complained about this before. We've had this discussion. It's a syndicated morning show. It's played all over the country. And, Rebel, these are the stations you can avoid on your travels.
I only have Rebel in my head for 10 seconds, and it writes over itself.
What is the simulcast? Don't you do simulcasting? Like, if WBAI wanted a simulcast with, let's say, WNYU in New York City, can they do that, like, where when you're talking on WBAI, it also, you could hear it?
Yeah, but these are programming decisions, and we have people that do this. They have smaller stations. There's some in upstate New York that actually called in previous weeks. But these are programming decisions that we aren't necessarily in control of, and a lot of those stations have different programming priorities, and we're not syndicated or simulcast in that way because they have other talent, they have other subject matter, and we're not necessarily at the top of their list.
Point of information, first of all, it wouldn't really be a good idea to do that because WBAI covers pretty much all WNYU's area, but another point of information, I believe we once did that way back. I seem to remember doing a radio show and having a guest on from WNYU who was also doing a radio show, and we broadcast each other's shows. And now I'm going to have to find that somehow. But I think that happened. It's funny you picked that very station.
I remember us going there, too, at one point, but that was for a different thing, I think an interview.
No, I don't think we went there. We went to WNYC.
Oh, NYC,
yeah.
Right. Okay.
There's a lot of WNY stations. There's WNYE. WNYE. There's a lot. There's a lot of
them. There's a lot of technology that would allow that, Rebel, like streaming. Like, they could just bring in on a machine.
Yeah, but let's say in the 90s. I'm not
right.
saying in the 90s.
No, let's not say in the 90s. This is 2025.
No, let's say like when WBAI was like when Emmanuel was talking about it. Because let's say the station was in Philadelphia, they could do the same thing.
A different city. Well, yeah, of course.
That would be the best. That would be the best scenario. Is coming up in other cities that have a broadcast area that is syndication, but those are usually formal arrangements. Although we have a lot of informal people that have control of various transmitters and do this.
Oh,
it'd
my God.
It'd be
I
great
found
to
it.
Get that on AM or something or all over the country. But
I found the radio show. I can't believe this. April 27th, 1994. Half of this show was a simulcast with another radio program on New York City's WNYU. Rob from Hacktick talks about the Dutch government's attempt to outlaw encryption. Rebel's latest phone trick. Rebel, you're on the show where we did this. I can't believe this. 1994. Cloning cellular phones for legal purposes. And this was an official day of mourning. Does anybody want to guess for who? Go ahead, Alex.
Wait, 1994.
April 27, 1994. It was an official day of mourning for somebody.
WBAI cat.
Oh, well, that's a very good guess. The WBAI cat named Pacific Cat. No, it was not.
It was a national day of mourning.
National day.
Well,
that would be an international day of mourning.
It wasn't Jimmy Carter.
Actually, I didn't say official. I didn't say national. I said official. It's official day of mourning.
Oh, sorry. Oh, official day of mourning. No, this makes it way more vague. Sorry.
Did you look it up, Gila?
I did not.
Okay. What's your guess?
Nixon?
Yes, you're right. Former President Nixon.
Oh, wow.
All right.
Oh. I'm sorry for cutting you off about the 90s rebel.
Check
apparently
out the big brains on Gila there. You know your history.
So now, if that station was not in New York City and it was in, like, Philadelphia or Chicago and stuff, you would be able to do the same thing, right?
What, you mean simulcast? You can simulcast anywhere. That's the nature of simulcasting.
Okay, but it's the same principle would have... It doesn't matter where. Okay.
What's the principle that we're talking about here?
We would love to, yes.
Yeah, all you have to do is be able to hear the signal of the other station, either over the air or through some kind of connection like what we have here.
You could just hold your CB radio and transmit while the show's going.
You
just hold it for an hour.
No, you can't do that. That's specifically illegal on CB to do things
like
that.
Oh, is it?
You notice you never hear top 40 music on CB radio. There's a reason for that.
Not nearly enough.
First of all, people can't hold the microphone button that long, but also that's not what it's for, although people do it anyway.
I just want Rebel to make friends.
Go ahead, Rebel.
How did you do it in the 90s?
You know, physics worked the same way in the 1990s, so really no difference.
Okay.
You mean as far as, we didn't have internet connectivity like we do now. So in cases like that, you would have to use some kind of a telephonic connection, or dare I say, a satellite connection, or just not do it as readily.
Now,
that implies there's more. I think we're pretty much at an end. One more point, Rebel.
When you go to like a website, like an airline website, and book your plane ticket or whatever, but they're able to do things on their end in the office that you can't do on the website. How does that work?
They have some kind of management or... back-end control, right? Like, they are an associate of that firm, and they have access as an employee to do certain higher-level functions than what you could do as a customer.
I see.
It varies.
All right.
Food for thought. Thanks for calling.
Yes, thank you very much for that. 802-321-4225 is our telephone number. And we'll turn it back over to the people on Skype land who have been quiet.
We have been quiet but enjoying the show so far.
The show is not for you to enjoy. The show is for you to make better and add to.
So quick shout to the 64 people who are with us online right now.
I have a lot of people tonight. A lot of people.
Yeah. A lot of people. And thank you, everybody, for participating we're now up to 65. And we did have a guest in the chat that the death that was being mourned then was Princess Diana, which, you know, she... That didn't happen until 1997, but fascinated by the idea of a day of mourning for Richard Nixon being observed on a Pacifica station.
No, I didn't say it was being observed on a Pacifica station. I said it was an official day of mourning that day.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, that's what the description of the show says. So just historical context, something we could talk about decades in the future, which we're doing.
We have a phone call.
Oh boy. Okay. Good evening. You're on Off Look Overtime. Go ahead.
Hello, guys. This is the guy from Queens. How are you?
Hey, guy from Queens. How you doing?
Pretty good. I'm the guy with the talk, and I'm about to start a fight with you guys.
Please don't. We've had enough. Tell us how your dog is, all right?
My dog is great, but...
What kind of dog is it?
Let me finish this. I disagree with you on something.
All right.
You were on VAI talking about the congested pricing. And you guys just think, you know, you think everybody agrees with you. That's not true.
Oh, I know people don't agree with us.
Governor of New Jersey came out today and said, I thank, you know, the president. I'm not saying I love Trump, but what I am saying is that there's a lot of people from Queens, Nassau County.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Like congested pricing.
I am well aware of that, and also you should know that I think the governor of New Jersey is an idiot. He's a Democrat, so there you go. I'm criticizing Democrats, which people say we don't do.
You have a right to call someone an idiot,
mm-hmm.
but if people don't agree with you, you don't want to hear from them. It's like be your way or the highway.
Well, we put you on every time, don't we? So, of course, we want to hear people. If they have, you know, intelligent things to say, absolutely. And we try and engage with, you know, the facts and the points and things like that. And, you
okay,
know.
Let's talk about the facts.
Oh, boy.
Suggested pricing.
Uh-huh.
$9 a day. There are people that have to use cars. There are firemen who are now not coming with their cars. You have people like firemen who would go from firehouse to firehouse using their personal car. Now they're taking fire engines, and you're having extra delay. You're having businesses in the city that are losing business because people won't come in for dinner and stuff like that.
I'm pretty sure first responders either are exempt or should be exempt. I would definitely agree with that.
They should be exempt.
Right.
But you also have people who travel through. You're in New Jersey and you're trying to come in and you want to go up to Westchester. You've got to come in through New York. Those guys are getting congested pricing. You want to go into New York. What about people who service equipment? You know, you got people who might come into the city to service electrical equipment, or you have trucks that are making delivery. This is all put to add on.
All these people charge for their services, and they can share the extra expense of $9 or less a day with the people that pay them.
Yeah, but then you cause inflation. When you're causing inflation that is not necessary, people are not going to do it for free. If you have a truck that comes in to deliver, you know, food or whatever, they have to pay, they don't pay $9. They're paying $50, $60, whatever they're paying for this congested price, they're paying more than a regular.
Yeah, trucks pay more. That is correct. Trucks pay more.
So now what happens, they add that to the price of food. So who's the one who gets paid?
But, you know, the 18-wheel trucks, they have multiple stops that they make in the city. You know, I've seen businesses say that they have to pass the charge on, and what they say is they're passing the entire charge on. But it's obvious that the suppliers that drop by those businesses have other businesses to supply as well, you know. So to say that you have to charge the customer that much extra, you know, we looked this over with, I think it was Hampton Jitney was a bus service that hadn't been initially exempt from the fee. And we did the math, and if the bus was even half full, the extra charge that they were piling on, they'd be making something like 50% more than they were making before for all the fares that they were charging. So we're seeing a lot of people take advantage of the confusion here. Another thing, you know, I saw this was actually reported on the news, that people are parking above 59th Street. They're parking in the Upper East Side, the Upper West Side. It's horrible. All these people driving around looking for free parking on the street, right? And they're parking on the street, and then they're taking mass transit downtown to their jobs. And I'm supposed to believe that they're throwing $3 each way onto the subway or bus, so a total of $6 per day, to save the extra $3 that the $9 congestion fee would have been. Does that not seem a bit unrealistic?
Well, people are going to do what they're going to do. Look at what you're causing. You're causing pollution in the Bronx. You're causing pollution in Queens because people are riding around.
No, I'm not causing pollution. The people who are driving are causing pollution. They don't have to drive. They can take mass transit. And if they're in a place that doesn't have mass transit, you know, that's something, that's a problem of that area that should be addressed. Why don't they have mass transit? It's a city.
I'll be honest, I take accessory rides, but if I was, and I could also travel on the subway, I'm not going to travel on the subway for one reason, because it's safety. People are getting pushed onto trains, all kinds of other stuff. When you go on trains, they smell. And that's it. If they want people to use the subways, then they have to give you a better service. People are going to do whatever is in their best.
So okay, so you're against paying a fee to drive into a city, and you're also against paying for the subway. I mean, what's left?
Well, what about all the people that are jumping the turnstiles and not paying to get into the city. So you're saying that the people who have cars should subsidize. If the MTA would go after all the fare beaters, then they would not have this deficit.
Well, that would certainly help, but fare beaters have been around forever. It's nothing new.
And guess what? You got a lot of people. You got all the people in Nassau County who are against it. They filed lawsuits. So what the federal government came in and said, we're going to stop this congestion pricing. They had a right to do it because, hey, it's up to the Federal Highway Commission to grant this permission. This was This was a test thing. So the city did it on the test. So, and guess what? The president, when he ran, he told the people, I'm going to stop this. So a lot of people voted for him. That's why he did better in New York than they thought he did.
Don't states have some rights, though?
Do you doubt states have some rights? Yes, they do, but also people coming in. Okay, the people downstate who might be in favor of this don't drive cars, but a lot of people do.
Yeah, but they live. They live in the place. They live in that city. So it's their streets that are being affected. They're the ones that have to deal with more traffic and more pollution. Don't they get a say?
Guess what? Yes, they get a say, but guess what? If the people from Connecticut, New Jersey say, you know what, we're going to boycott the city. We're not going to come in to dinner and stuff like that. People are coming in only because they have to. But if the people who have, discretionary time and say, you know what, I don't want to come in. I am not going to come in and pay $9 plus tolls and all of this. I'm not going to go to the restaurant. Who does that hurt? That hurts the poor person who is, working as a waiter.
How much do you think it costs to eat in a restaurant in New York City in the first place? Extra $9 for something you're not doing every day, I don't think is a deal breaker.
Well, some people come in two and three times. Maybe you think it's a deal breaker, but some people do think it's a deal breaker. So if they're willing, if they make that choice, that's what a free system is. That's what a capitalist system
is. Well, they'll go out to eat somewhere where they live then, and that's less pollution and more business for the local business. It seems like everyone wins one way or another.
No, because you're already starting to see that businesses are laying off. People in New York, and by the way, you're going to have a bunch of the big corporations, which I know you guys don't like. They're going to come out and say at some point, you know what, we're going to pull our offices out of the city. They're having a hard time getting people to come back to work. They need people to come back to work so that they spend the money in the city, and the city can get that tax money. Everybody wants to work from home. I have no problem working from home if people want to. But if you're going to keep putting roadblocks and making it more and more expensive and taking away more places for cars, and by the way, bikes are not the safest thing. As a blind person,
because of cars, they're not the safest thing.
No, because when you step out of the curb, bikes are going in the wrong direction. They don't follow the traffic laws. It's very dangerous. Blind people are getting hurt.
I agree with that. I totally agree with that. I don't see how it relates to this, but certainly bikes should follow basic rules as well. Absolutely. Right. Rob has a point.
Along those little bike lanes that are so close to the...
Well, that's another thing. I don't know if you heard this, but Trump wants to get rid of bike lanes, too. Somehow he thinks he can go in and just get rid of bike lanes. You think that's going to make things safer for pedestrians? Because bikes will be everywhere then. There won't be bike lanes for them.
The big question I have for our neighbor from Queens, because...
Hang on. You got
all these bike things here, so when you try to find your way onto the street, it's so hard. New York City, as a blind person,
right? They could do a better job. I totally agree with that. They could do a better job, but you can't just pretend they don't exist. Rob has a point. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, the big question I have for our neighbor from Queens, because I'm also from Queens, is, taking the issue of congestion pricing and taking that as something that was decided by our local government. There were fights about it. Everyone disagrees about it. But the local government and the people studying the local traffic structures decided this was a good idea to go and try. And it was put in place. Do you think that the president the head of the Republican Party, the party of small government, allegedly, should be able to step in and tell a city government that, you know, you can't do this thing the way you chose to. You can't do this thing the way your people voted to. You can't do this thing. Do you think the president is the one to make that call, one way or another, whether you're for it or against it? Do you think that the president should be able to step in and make these decisions?
The city of New York and the governor put it to a vote of the people in New York City and the surrounding area, asking what the public says. Let's have a referendum on it. Okay, as far as the president, well, you have, this involves interstate commerce. This involves cars that are traveling from New Jersey, Connecticut, wherever, Pennsylvania. They all come into the city. So, yes, I think that the federal government has a play on it, just like the previous administration had hearings on it, and now the federal government has it. There's also money. There's federal money that's involved in these cameras.
If the federal government
doesn't have a right, then federal money shouldn't even be involved. Then New York should do it all on its own. No, so you have New Jersey money, you have New York money, and now you have interstate commerce. So you have the governor in New Jersey. Why is the governor of Jersey doing it? Because it hurts his people. It causes his people to spend more money, and he's a Democrat. See, you're saying, oh,
can you cite interstate commerce as the reason for doing something within one small part of Manhattan?
He's a very liberal governor.
I don't think you heard Rob.
I don't always agree with him, but he's coming from.
Go ahead, Rob. Say what you're saying again.
Can you cite interstate commerce as the reason to do something within one small part of one borough within New York City? Going from downtown to uptown in New York City is not interstate.
Yeah, there are no federal roads in Manhattan, as far as I know. Are there?
They're getting federal money. The deep department, if you look at the DOT, they get federal money. New York gets federal money to help, even to support the city streets. Comes under federal. But here's another thing. If you say there's no interstate, yes, it's a small part of New York City. But to get from New Jersey to Long Island or to upstate New York, you have to go through New York City if you're coming from New Jersey. So that means that
you must object to all the tolls that exist on the Lincoln Tunnel, the Holland Tunnel.
Why don't you object to those? No, I don't. Because you need money to keep those things going. The money that is being used for this congested pricing is not going to keep the streets. The money that is paid to go for the Lincoln Tunnel, the Manhattan Tunnel, the Midtown Tunnel from Queens into the city is going only for that operation. The money that they're collecting for these cars are going to support mass transit.
Okay, so that's what you have a problem with. It's not the toll, it's what it's going for. That's what you have a problem with.
That is correct.
Okay.
And raising it to a point, and guess what? That's $3 and $4 and $5 or $6, whatever they charge, and that's it. If you want to avoid the Midtown Tunnel, you have a way of getting into the city. You go through the 59th Street Bridge. There's other ways to get into the city without paying a toll. You can go through...
Not from New Jersey, there aren't.
No, if you come in from New Jersey, you're going to pay a toll
right. Because
you go over the Lincoln Tunnel, whatever. But then you get hit with another toll, the congested pricing.
But you get less of it because you're already paying a toll. Yeah, I see. Go ahead, Gila.
Or you could take New Jersey Transit.
Oh,
pay congestion pricing.
That's true.
I'm just saying. Yeah. Public transit, better for literally every single thing in the whole entire world.
You know what?
Not everyone owns a car. Not everyone wants to own a car.
Can I just say one thing? Because no one's talking about this. All right. When I drove my car, right, I wanted to go from New York to Pennsylvania, and I got on the New Jersey Turnpike, and they charged me for that. Why do I have to pay to ride a road in New Jersey when I'm not even going to New Jersey? I was going to Pennsylvania. Why am I paying a New Jersey toll? It doesn't make any sense. I don't think that's fair.
Well, on that New Jersey road, at that minute, you're on the New Jersey Highway, and that money's only to pay for the upkeep of the New Jersey Highway. So there's a Department of Highways in the state of New Jersey that you pay for.
But why does New Jersey get to decide what I pay?
Transit.
Are you saying because I'm in New Jersey that I'm paying to use something in New Jersey?
Absolutely. If I'm on a highway, if I'm going 50 miles, let's say I'm going, or how many miles I'm traveling, yes, I'm using those roads. I'm using the pavement. My tires are doing damage to the pavement. Think it's upkeep.
But not okay.
Not supposed to run. But what you're doing here is you're saying, we're charging $9. None of that money is going for the upkeep of the streets. None of that money is going to the city of New York for the upkeep of all the streets
Let's explain something. When less cars use the street lasts longer. So in effect, you know, by having less cars coming in, which has already been proven to be a result of this, the streets aren't being as torn apart by all these vehicles. The people in, you know, who live on those streets, the people who walk on those streets, the people who ride bikes on those streets are reporting that it's much easier, much healthier, and, you know, a lot of minds have been changed.
Yeah, there's always a cost, and I think the health costs alone are worth it. But also, Alex's point earlier that you're able to actually get places, that is a huge deal. I mean, time spent in traffic disrupts business, disrupts people's lives, their schedules, their appointments, and ultimately this might be really, you know, far away from center politics, but the amount of fuel that's wasted, mm-hmm, just sitting waiting to get somewhere is itself a huge cost.
By using less cars, that's people saying, and by the way, the people, not all those people or getting onto mass transit. A lot of those people are just saying, forget it, I'm not coming into this city. So now you have people not coming in. I have friends who say, you know what, if I have to do business in this city, and if I could do it on Skype, or I could do it on Zoom, I'm going to do it on Zoom. So you know what that does? Yes, maybe that stops a little bit of pollution, but that takes away business from a restaurant. And that restaurant, if it does less business, it's not going to keep people on because they're altruistic. At the end of the day, just like you guys charge $225 for your Hope convention, it's expenses. And if less people come, you may raise your prices to cover your expenses. That's just the way it works in a...
Well, we also have a virtual option. For $99, you can go to the conference virtually and interact with people. So, you know, we have to adjust. There are ways of adjusting.
But also, if enough people don't come to your Hope convention,
right,
then you're gonna have to raise the price of the internet, or
realize it's not working and not do it. You know.
No. You do things to entice people to come. If you put on things that people like and enjoy,
right,
like, you know, the key thing, you know, doing hacking, playing with the locksmith and using lock picks and stuff like that, that is enjoyable. When you put on things that people want, then they come. That's just the way.
Yeah, it's called an attraction. So if there are more things to do in the city, then people will come to do those things in the city and say, you know what, it's worth the $9 or $225, which is what it goes down to after peak hours.
Yeah, and restaurants closing in Manhattan, I mean, that's like a constant process. And dare I say, that's part of our capitalist system. If you can't connect the dots and make the numbers work, somebody else comes in and does it. And maybe it turns into a different kind of business.
There are a lot of restaurants closing outside of Manhattan as well. A lot of restaurants closing in Queens, a lot of restaurants closing on Long Island. Speaking of Long Island, you know, if I were to drive from Long Island to Manhattan, I can drive my car from Montauk in Suffolk County, and I can drive, take the Williamsburg Bridge, I can park for free on the street. You know, does that seem right that there's absolutely no expense whatsoever? You know, it seems like, you know, you should have to pay something for using all of the infrastructure, taking up a parking space, basically driving down highways and things like that, as opposed to paying a fare on a train. You know, there should be something in addition to just the gas. And I think it's this feeling of entitlement that we can just go wherever we want to go, park in the middle, you know, of a city, and we don't have to worry about any expense whatsoever because somehow it's all working out. It's not working out. That's the message that's being conveyed here. This has happened in other cities. It's happened in London. It's happened somewhere in Sweden. It's happened in Singapore. And in every case, there's been opposition at the beginning, and that opposition has gotten less and less as the program takes effect because people see the results. They see better infrastructure. They see better mass transit. They see less pollution. They see less traffic. They see more walking around. It's, you know, it's something that, you know, it's a process. This is the first time in the United States this has happened, but it's something that, you know, we're starting to get used to. And, you know, I would support, maybe our caller would agree on this, I would support having this program in place for, say, a year, and then having a referendum on it, you know, from the people affected, the people in New York. And sure, you know, the whole state, why not? The whole state of New York. I guarantee you New York City will overwhelmingly support it, and I don't think there would be enough opposition in the rest of the state to defeat it. But let's see. Let's see what happens after a year of this program. See if things actually get better. And if people decide, you know what, I don't want things like that. I want things back the way they were. I could accept that.
I would have no problem with doing that. But also, when you say it's free, you know, it's not really free. People take taxes. And the purpose of doing this is for the common good. You have federal taxes, you have city taxes, you have payroll taxes. The city takes money in, and the reason you have streets for people to get around is for commerce. That's what it's for. You know, yes, could we have more efficient cars, less pollution? Absolutely. Over the time we've come out with catalytic converters, we realize that there's pollution. But as far as saying that people want a free ride, you know, they pay a gas tax, they pay a state gas tax, you pay hundreds of dollars for your license, for the tax on a car, for the registration.
Yeah, I'm talking about one ride into the city. You don't pay all that.
That goes into the common pool.
Mm-hmm.
That goes into the common pool to help each other and to help businesses. And by people coming into the city, you create more business. People come in for plays. People come in for a lot of stuff. Yes, I would have no trouble in saying, okay, let's do this for 1 year. And then let the people of New York vote on it, and the entire state.
Okay, look, we agree on this. So let's tell Trump, let's give us a year, let's see how it goes, and we'll decide on our own. We don't need your help. I think that works out great.
I probably would have no trouble. I probably would have no trouble with that. But that's not what you would not. If you ask for that, you get no agreement. I guarantee you that the governor of the state of New York would not be in agreement. The reason why this is happening is because MTA can't handle their own money. Look, I see how they waste money. I am an Accessorite user, and I can tell you how they waste money so badly and how corrupt they are and how they do things for their own benefit. And that's the problem with MTA. They got a hole in their pocket, and it's just bad.
I don't know how to address that. I don't have access to that information, but you know, I'm looking at the effects of this one program. Listen, we spent a lot of time on this, so I hope you realize that we're not shy about talking to people we disagree with, and I'm sure we'll have more to talk about in the future.
Thank you, guys. Great talking to you.
All right, be well. So there, those are my, and you know, I have one other thing too. You know, they charge me sales tax in New Jersey. What am I paying sales tax in New Jersey for? I don't live in New Jersey. Why should I pay sales tax in New Jersey? Huh? I should be exempt from that. I'm not a resident. All right? Whatever that tax is going to, I don't benefit from. It's not fair. It's not fair.
Yeah. That's life. I learned something. I didn't realize that there was off-peak congestion prices.
Absolutely, yes.
It was $9 all the time.
Not all the time. No.
Okay, and it's 9 p.m. to 9 a.m. on the weekends, I guess. Those are the off-peak hours, and then 9 p.m. to 5 a.m. during the the weekdays. That wasn't me hiccuping, by the way. That was somebody else.
It's important that you point that out.
Right? Okay. All right. Yes. But I tend to agree mostly with the caller. You know my position on the congestion charge.
Yeah, I'm a bit puzzled by it because you don't drive a car that much, and you keep your car in a garage, and you're paying a lot more than $9 to do that.
Yeah, which is why I don't need another $9 on top of all this.
But you know, you're only paying when you leave. Actually, no, not when you leave. When you enter the city. So if you go somewhere, you don't pay. But if you come back, you pay $9 or $2.75. And then you're paying God knows how much to keep your car in the garage all month. So I don't think this is the hill to die on here. I really don't. And you're getting
it's
better.
About principle, though.
But no, you know, why is it about principle only when you disagree? where's the principle for every other tax and fee?
Well, I don't necessarily disagree. I mean, I told you I'm very pragmatic about it, and I think I'm in support of it because
already,
I like the effect.
Yeah, you commented on an easier commute, which, you know, I think that's worth whatever it is you're paying, which is next to nothing.
I agree with that, actually. I do. But I think the principle of it is atrocious. And I tend to agree with the caller on this, especially with regard to his comments that this was a measure that was taken to fund the MTA when they are completely inept at managing their own money,
finances. Why don't you dive into that issue and help them manage their money better? Because it seems like no matter what, they're going to be condemned for managing their money poorly.
Well, they have a massive, massive budget that's entirely mismanaged.
They have a massive amount of things to take care of.
It's a pretty big system.
It's huge.
Well, so do I. But, you know, I don't have
to. You're comparing yourself to the MTA?
Yeah. Do you know how much rail costs?
Do you have one elevator that you have to maintain? no, I don't think so.
Matter of fact, yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. But look, if I had several millions of dollars to spend on, let's say, maintaining an elevator or repairing an elevator, I mean, things would just get done. But look, they throw money around. They have these massive projects that go way over budget. I think the government contractors that are living off the teat of the MTA for decades now, those are the types of activities that should be audited. There could be a tremendous amount of savings made from reallocating and auditing.
Maybe when Elon is done with the feds, he can come to New York and cut the MTA for you. But
I wouldn't welcome him, but I would certainly welcome somebody looking into
this. You're going to get somebody like him, you know, if you open the door to this kind of thing.
The result you're going to find out is that they don't want mass transit at all. The people that take an interest in auditing, like you say, or like...
Maybe.
The thing about taxes, like, yeah, taxes, we have all these taxes, but everybody who talks about taxes like that doesn't want to pay another dime.
Did you notice the issue in the end with our cost? Wasn't so much the tax or the fees, it was mass transit. He didn't want to pay anything for mass transit. And I think it's a hostility towards mass transit that comes. Absolutely, that's what it is.
Oh, I don't think so. I think you're painting way too many people with the same brush.
Well, because I hear them talking with that brush, all right? People say they're going to get pushed onto subway tracks. I mean, I'm hearing that constantly every time someone suggests, take the subway instead. Oh, I don't want to go there. It's too dangerous. It's no more dangerous than it was in the past at all.
Okay, but here's the point, media perception. This is all a red herring because the point at issue here, I think fundamentally, and which is the one that I want to make, is that taxing people should not be the first reaction of government here. They should look into their budgets and managing them and managing the money that we give them through all of our other tax means before they start implementing additional taxes. If they did that and they said, you know what? We're going to need help from the taxpayer here to maintain this infrastructure, to reduce traffic, et cetera. I'd be all for it.
Okay, well, this has been going on for decades.
This was
suggested by Bloomberg, a Republican. All right, so obviously they've been at this a while. This isn't a brand new thing. It just finally got done, you know? And these things cost a lot of money. Look, I want to see the Second Avenue subway finished in my lifetime. You know, I want to see a more modernized fleet. They have invested so much, and they've improved the system quite a bit. but it cost a huge amount of money. And we're not just talking about the subway. We're not just talking about buses. We're talking about commuter lines as well, you know, and all kinds of things that we just take for granted.
Well, yeah, maybe. Maybe we disagree, but I think
we do disagree.
Scrutiny within and into the MTA and the contracting situations.
Well, one way or another, there's a couple ways this can go. Things can just completely fall apart and not be maintained, and we've experimented with that back in the 70s. We can raise the fares, and that will be inevitable if there's no income coming in from congestion pricing. The money's got to come from somewhere. Or basically someone is going to figure out where all this money is going.
Well, and leaning it up, I don't think is investing, right? Like, if you get your wish and you go completely austere, that's not an investment. And you need to invest in a system like this. It seems to me that the desire is just to basically put it on life support and pray it keeps working in an emergency or, you know, whenever people actually who use it. But disabling the kind of expanding or modernizing efforts doesn't, I think, benefit the people as much as we think.
I don't disagree with that, but I'm just asking for something very simple, which is just competent, accountable government.
Right. You need to go to more meetings.
That's it.
But the accounting.
Let's get that straight before you start reaching into my pocket and taking more.
But that
money.
When people say things like that, they never get to the point where, okay, that's settled. Now here's some more money for you. You never get there. And please don't try to fool me by saying, oh yeah, this is going to take this, and then I'll be happy to pay more. You're never going to be happy to pay more.
You're going to put it on life support, and then never redirect any of the savings from it. It'll never go to anything else. It'll just be okay. I don't have to pay, and then I get to go and complain about being pushed in front of the subway.
Can we stop talking about mass transit now? I mean, for God's sake, we spend more time in mass transit than we have on anything else this evening. Yeah, it's a big deal. It is a big deal, and Trump should not be allowed to do this. I think that's something we should all agree on, whether or not we believe that congestion pricing is a good idea, as it's proven to be in every other place that's been implemented. But regardless, we can put that aside. Having this dictator come in and impose his will against the will of the people of New York, or you know, basically the system that we have now that is in its infancy but is showing promising signs. Let it at least either prove itself to be a success or a disaster. We don't need him.
Well, did you see the imagery that was coming out of the White House today on their Twitter account? I mean, it was unbelievable. I thought it was fake. I thought this was some kind of parody White House account that I was seeing. But
okay.
It was.
You got to fill me in on this. I have not been looking at their feed.
It was unbelievable. I mean, Rob is shaking his head here, too. I mean, he can back me up here. It was. Mm-hmm. Really weird.
Okay, enough prelude. What is it?
It was a portrait of Trump basically dressed as a king, and styled underneath it was something like King of New York or King of the U.S. I can't remember what it was, but long live the king. What did it say, Gila?
It says long live the king.
Long live the king.
Well,
he
said that underneath what he said about congestion pricing. You're saying in addition to that, he said more?
In addition to that, this was on that post, and it's an illustration that's like a mock-up of a Time magazine cover, except instead of Time, it says Trump, and the text, Long Live the King, on this image of Trump wearing a crown. This is very clearly artwork made by generative AI, because you know he's not paying a goddamn artist, and it is terrifying to see this sort of thing coming from the official White House account.
Okay, he's lost it. That's it. He's lost it. He's out.
Hang on, though.
No, we got to do something.
This is not the worst thing that's come out of the White House social media in the last couple of days.
What's the worst one I heard of in the last 10 seconds?
All right, are you ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
They did some videos of people being rounded up by ICE, and they, like, labeled it deportation ASMR.
Okay.
President Downer Cow.
Wow. Okay, well, you know, there's not much I can say to that, except that we are facing a real crisis in this country, and we have to do something about it or pay the consequences, and there will be consequences, I think, that affect everybody, no matter what angle you're coming from. So maybe we can all realize that at least. Hang on, I need a hard drink here. Thank you.
You know, I don't drink. I'm a lifelong teetotal, but sometimes I understand.
Yeah. We'll be happy to do this again with non-argumentative, but also argumentative people. And we can do argumentative hard. Yeah, like, let's go.
Never let it be said that we shy away from arguing or hearing out other people. We just don't want to do it all the time because it gets really exhausting. And, you know, we've had these arguments many times. So on some things, it's settled. Like, the Earth is round. I think we've got that settled. Gravity is mandatory. You know, that kind of stuff. And vaccines work. Yeah, just to piss some people off. I think we're done for tonight, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we have some machines to own.
Yeah, you know, on that note, there are all kinds of ways of handling this. Just be smart in what you do. And you can always talk to us, oth@2600.com. And our various social media outlets as well. We'll keep updating people in various ways. And we'll be back next week on WBAI. Looking forward to that. And please support WBAI. Give to WBAI.org is one website. What are the other ones?
Or you could just go to buddy.wbai.org and it'll take you right to where you need to go.
Okay, all right. Cool. Okay, well, thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks for being a part of things. Stay strong. You're not alone. And we will talk to you again soon.
Bye.